good and thank all of you for being here this morning. It is a great day, a little rainy outside, but we need the rain, and God knows what we have need of even before we ask. And we're so glad that all of you are here this morning. We appreciate your making the effort to come this morning and to join us in this hour of worship. If you will be turning in your Bibles to the sixth chapter of the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. I'd like to ask a question this morning of all of you, and you don't have to raise your hand on this question, but how many of you would say that you are guilty at times of worrying? As I said, you don't have to raise your hand on that, but I think that probably it could have been said of every one of us this morning that we all worry. Generally, what we say, however, is that we don't worry, we're concerned. And when someone else is concerned, we call it worry. Well, believe it or not, our Lord spoke on the subject of worry and anxiety as much as perhaps anything. And the reason he talked about it is because you and I are so often guilty of allowing the frustrations of our life to take over and to sap us of our spiritual strength. And that really is what worry will do. You know, we listen to a lot of people, and I've heard people say, well, worry just makes me feel better. And just makes me feel so much better when I worry about things. Well, that's not really a good answer, folks. And if you would be honest, I think you could truthfully say that is just not true. Of course, I don't believe everything I hear and everything that I read. I read a thing the other day off the internet and entitled Foolish Sayings. Maybe you've heard some of these. You ever heard your husband say about the gas in your tank? Of course we have enough to get home. Well, what about this one? Someone said that this is probably the most untrue statement that has ever been spoken. The doctor will be with you in just a moment. Have you noticed in most doctor's offices now they have taken the clock down? I didn't realize that the other day. They don't want you counting the minutes that you're sitting out there in that waiting room. What about this one? I've got you a date with the most beautiful girl on campus. Or what about this one? He won't bite. With this new diet, you can eat anything you want and still lose weight. Bernie Madoff must have come up with this one. You can triple your money in less than a year. One last one. Assemble it yourself in just a few minutes with only a screwdriver and a pair of pliers. Now, that's about as foolish sometimes as the theology is of a lot of folks in our world. They tell us how to get rid of our worry and our anxiety, and they often tell you to go home. Maybe if you're mad at your wife, take it out on your pillow or just put a hole through the door. Well, Jesus gave a better answer than that, and I want to share it with you this morning, found in the book of Matthew, the sixth chapter, verse 25 and following. Our Lord said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. For he said, is not the life more than meat, and the body the raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? And which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. And they toil not, and neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, and why in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. And wherefore, if God can so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow it is cast into the oven, he said, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all of these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of, even that he knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. people are guilty of worrying. And I say guilty because I really believe that worry is a sin. I don't believe that God made us creatures of worry. I believe that it is a habit that we develop over a period of time. It is learned behavior, like most of the things that we do in life. Do you know that people, by and large, worry about four things? If I could really ask you this morning, what do you worry about? It would fall almost every one of them within these four areas. It would either be your finances. People worry about their money. It would be your fitness, and David's right, you know, when you start huffing and puffing for breath, we need to start working out, and I kind of got off my schedule, and I need to start doing that too. Gary Todd and I were doing that, but he wanted to quit. And but anyway, when he quit, I quit. Guilt by association. We need to start back on that tomorrow, Gary. But anyway, we worry about our finances. We worry about our fitness. We worry about our food, what we're going to eat. People worry about food all the time. We have more food in America, I'm going to tell you, than anybody in all the world, and we worry about what we are going to eat. We worry not only about our food, our finances, our fitness, but we also worry about our fashion. How many of you ladies got up this morning, went to your closet, and said, "I just don't have a thing to wear"? I see some of your husbands pointing at you. You didn't raise your hand. But we worry about so many things in life. We worry if we're old. We worry if we're young, whether we're going to grow up. I heard about, and I think I told you about, the man that Paul Harvey talked about, that this guy was in his 90s and he went down and had braces put on his false teeth to make him look young. We worry about a lot of things. Well, how do you overcome worry? How do you deal with it? How do you get beyond worry and anxiety? Let me share with you some things, first of all, that I really believe that you need to do. I think, first of all, that we need to admit the sinfulness of worry. You know, if you never, ever really believe that it is a sin to worry, you will never quit. You won't. Because you will believe that you are justified in your worry. You believe that you are justified in being anxious about everything that is going on in the world. I'm going to tell you, the news media helps that a lot. They paint sometimes the blackest, the dimmest, the darkest picture of things that are going on in America than anybody. They do. And you read all this stuff sometimes, it comes across the internet, and you hear people talk about all the bad things that are going on. Why is it that we can't look sometimes at the good things that are going on in this great country? Why is it that we can't look around us and see the wonderful blessings of Almighty God? We need to admit the sinfulness of worry. Do you know, in this particular text, Jesus talks about a number of things. He uses four particular illustrations to help us understand why worry is so bad. He talks about it from different perspectives. He talks about it biologically speaking. He talks about it psychologically speaking. He talks about it geologically speaking. He talks about it from the standpoint of botany. Also, plants and birds and animals and psychology and all these things. Jesus gives a command. He says, take no thought for your life. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not to really think about our life or that we're to think about what we're going to put on this morning or what we're going to eat. But he says, put it in perspective. That is, don't let it consume you. There are things that are more important than what you put in your body. What you put in your mind and in your heart is much more important than what you put in your body. He said there are things that are more important. It is more important what you put in your mind and in your heart than what you put on your body on the outside. You see, Jesus says, think of things as they ought to be. Put it in perspective. The word worry is an interesting word. The word worry comes from the Greek language, actually, and it just simply means to divide the mind, and that is exactly what worry does. It will divide your mind. When you want to be at peace, there are some things that just happen that rob your peace of mind. It will happen. And when we worry, we break the commandment of God and we sin. And that's why I said we have to admit the sinfulness of worry. Worry, used in this tense in the Greek, actually means, it's not really talking about don't worry in the future. What he's really saying is stop worrying right now. He says you are already worrying about things. And when he says take no thought, and he says, hey, don't be anxious, he says stop worrying. Stop worrying right now what you're doing. Don't worry. Verse 34. You know, sometimes it is the little things in life that irritate us and really upset us. Sometimes, as I said, people allow the little things to rob us of our Christian joy. David Livingston, who was a great missionary down in Africa for many, many years, someone asked him what it was that probably robbed his peace more than anything else as a missionary in Africa. And David Livingston said, I would tell you, first of all, it is not the elephants. It's not the tornado, but it is the termites. You know, see, it is the little things in life that rob our joy. So first of all, admit the sinfulness of your worry. Many people will not admit it. They don't. We worry, as I said, about being young. I hear people today say, well, I just don't know whether Social Security is going to be there when I get there. I said that 20 years ago. I'm 2 years away. I hope it's there too. But we don't like to admit that we worry about things, do we? We don't like to admit that we worry when we're young. We don't like to admit that we worry when we're old. We don't like to admit that we're getting old. I heard someone say the other day, he said, you know what? He said, I think the Smiths are suffering from age-related strife. She was a neighbor. And the neighbor said, what do you mean? Says, well, he won't act his age and she won't admit hers. And there are some folks like that in the world. But there's a second thing you need to know. And that is to acknowledge the senselessness of worry. Not only admit the sinfulness of it, but acknowledge the senselessness of it. How many really believe this morning that you have accomplished something because you worried? Now you can raise your hand on that one. Because if you raise your hand, I want you to come up here and tell us what it was. Worry is senseless, folks. Do you know what Jesus said to do if you're worrying this morning? Let me tell you, you may have come here this morning with worry, and down deep in your soul, you may say, well, you know, I just can't admit it this morning, but he's talking to me, and I've been worrying about a lot of things this morning. They're just weighing down on my heart. Let me tell you what to do. I'm going to tell you what Jesus told you to do. Jesus said, here's the answer. He didn't say, go home and lie down and pretend it's not there. He did not say, go home and pop a pill and escape reality. But Jesus said, I want you to do something. I want you to go outside, and I want you to start bird watching. Now, that's exactly what he said. He said, I want you to go out in your backyard, and I want you to watch the birds. He says, the fowls of the air, they gather not, neither do they gather into their barn. They don't sow. He says, but your heavenly Father feedeth them. And he says, are you not much better than they? You ever watch the birds? You ever take time to do that? Most of us don't. Mac Davis sang a song many years ago about stopping and smelling the roses along the way. Few do it anymore. Few people watch birds. I watch birds every now and then. I do. And it's amazing how they soar into flight with great confidence. And it's amazing how they come down to Mother Earth and look for their food, and they will dig for it, and they will find it. You know what? I have never, ever seen a bird with high blood pressure. Have you? I've never seen one with hypertension. Never have I. But you know what the birds do in my backyard? Now, they may not do it in your backyard, but they do in mine. They sing. Sometimes I wish they'd quit. But they sing. They just chirp and chirp and chirp, and they just, you know, they understand even the senselessness of worry. Birds, by and large, are happy. They are. I've never seen an unhappy bird, have you? I haven't. Sometimes people talk about eating like a bird. How many of you eat like birds in here? Anybody? Before you answer that, let me tell you something. Do you know that a bird, and this is true of all fowls generally, they will eat 2 to 3 times their weight in a day? Now, how many of you eat like a bird? Now, some of you do. I've seen you. Did you know that a 180-pound man would have to eat, now consider this, a 180-pound man would have to eat 9 pounds a day, 9 pounds a day, to be able to eat like a bird? 9 pounds. You think you eat 9 pounds? You know what the average man eats in a day? And this is true. He will eat 3 pounds of food. He'll consume 3 pounds of food. You know what? Now, when Jesus says, watch the birds, he's not talking about eating that much food. But what he's talking about is look how carefree they are. They don't worry. They don't get excited. In Romans 8, the Bible says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You don't have to worry. If what Christ said is true, and he did say that, he said, if you seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, he'll see that your needs are met. Most time we talk about the fact we seek the kingdom first, that is with the church first in our life, but there's another little word that joins to that with that little conjunction and that's the word righteousness. And that is that we live the righteous life before God. Stop and think about our Heavenly Father. How wonderful he is to you. Do you believe that God would put you in his kingdom, save you, send Jesus Christ into the world, and then taunt you with worry and anxiety and want you to live a frustrated life? No, he didn't want you to live that way. And worry, and I told you, I asked you the question, I said, you know how many of you have benefited from worry? None of us do. Someone said that worry is kind of like the rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. Worry will not, according to what Christ said, worry will not put 1 pound on you if you're thin, and worry will not take 1 pound off. I know some people that go around worrying about their weight all the time. They do. They worry about their weight. Anybody in here worry about your weight? Heard about a lady one time who went to the doctor and said, doctor, said, I just feel so bad. He said, Miss Smith, what you need to do is lose some weight. And she said, I think I'd like a second opinion. He said, you're all so ugly. Well, that wasn't what she was looking for. Worry will not put 1 pound on you and it will not take 1 pound off. It will not increase your stature 1 inch. Nor will it decrease it 1 inch. It will not add 1 second to your life, but it will take many away. I've seen, you ever heard about people sometimes that worry themselves sick? I've seen people that do that, that worry themselves sick. You ever heard this one? Boy, he's worrying himself to death. Or she, now there's some people that worry me to death. But you know what I'm talking about. There are some people that say, well, you know, of others, well, boy, she just worried herself sick, worried herself to death. It does happen sometimes. There are two categories of worries and things we should never do. You should never worry about things that you cannot change. And secondly, you should never worry about things that you can change. You just ought to change them. We should. And there are a lot of people in life that don't want to change. They delight in worry. Sometimes people worry because they have nothing to worry about. You got up this morning, if you are a health nut, so to say, you got up and you drank 8 ounces of water. You drank a glass of water, and that's great. Everybody ought to drink water. More people need to drink water. Did you know that 1 8-ounce glass of water is the amount of moisture or water that it takes to create a fog for 5 city blocks. You know, you walk outside and you see a big fog and you think, man, there's a lot of moisture in the air. Meteorologists tell us that it only takes about an 8-ounce glass of water. That's how much moisture is in the air to create a fog over 5 city blocks. You think about it. Now, what I'm saying this morning regarding that is the fact that we can take just a little thing here or a little thing there, and it can create a humongous fog in our life where we cannot see things clearly as we ought to see. Jesus not only said, look at the birds, but he said, look at the flowers. He said, I want you to consider the lily of the field. Have you ever got up close and looked at a lily? You ever got up close and looked at a rose petal? We've got some up here this morning, and thanks to the Benjes for this beautiful floral arrangement that was given in honor of Oren this morning. You can put a rose petal under a microscope, and you will see a design of God that cannot be matched anywhere. Nowhere. When you worry, you are saying to God, God, you are not big enough to handle my problem. That's what you're doing. Now, whether you admit that or not, you say, well, I believe in God, and I believe God's going to take care of me. I believe God loves me, and he wants what's best for me. But when you worry and when you are frustrated all the time about what's going on, what you are saying is that God is not big enough to handle this problem. And God is not big enough to get me through this problem. So the message of Christ is to stop worrying, folks. Quit it. It is sinful and it is senseless. And then there's one last thing I want to share with you this morning. That is, we need to apply steadfastness to worry. Look one way at a time. Christy Lane sang a song several years ago. It was called One Day at a Time, Lord Jesus. One day at a time. You know what we do? We're probably worried already about this week. We're probably already worried about this month. Maybe you're worried about how you're going to make ends meet. Maybe you're worried about whether or not you're sick and you wonder whether or not you're going to get well. You worry about getting sick. You worry about getting old. You worry about what's happening in America today. All these problems that are just weighing you down. And when you go to bed at night, you are going to bed with a pack on your back. And you will not sleep. You will not rest. You may wonder sometimes why you toss and turn at night. Did you know down in your subconscious, it may be the worry and the anxiety that you are frustrated about that's keeping you from getting up in the morning and feeling rested. How many of you ever go to bed at night and you feel worse the next morning when you get up? I've heard people tell me that. I mean, honestly, they tell me that. Well, I just wish I hadn't gone to bed because when I got up this morning, I felt worse than when I went to bed last night. A lot of that may be attributed to the worry and the anxiety that is going on in your mind. Get rid of it. Put it aside. Apply steadfastness to it. And that's really what Christ said, wasn't it? He says, first things must be first. We need to look to Jesus, according to Hebrews 12 and verse 1, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, and keep running that race. Looking unto Jesus, the Bible says, when we attempt to run our lives in and of ourselves, we are destined to fail. It ain't going to work, folks. And the grammar may be wrong, but the theology is right. It ain't going to work. I heard about a cowboy one time who went into a Western shop. And he went in and he told the proprietor, he said, look, he said, I'd like to buy a spur for my boot. And he said, a spur? He said, you mean two, don't you? He says, we don't sell just one. He said, don't you mean a pair of spurs? He said, no, I mean one. He said, if I can get one side of that horse to go and said, I know she's going to keep on going the other side. We need to live one day at a time and quit worrying about all the things that are going on in the world. Now, I've told you for the last 20 minutes not to worry. Now, believe it or not, I'm going to change horses here in the middle of the stream and tell you there is one thing you need to worry about. And this is the only thing. I mean it honestly, it's the only thing that you ever need to worry about in your life. And here it is. If you are not a Christian, and you die out of Jesus Christ, you will be lost. if you are not prepared to meet the Lord Jesus when he comes again, you need to worry. Do you know a Harris poll said that 1/3 of Americans worry because they think they do not have enough food? They think they do not have enough health insurance? And believe it or not, in that same poll, he said that only 10% worry about going to hell. Only 10. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. If I wasn't a Christian today, I'd be extremely worried. That worry would supersede my worry about finances. It would supersede my worry about health. It would supersede my worry about peace of mind. It would supersede anything in this life. I mean it. Because if I know that my soul is lost in hell, everything that I have, regardless of what it is for naught. And all the good that I have done this side of eternity, humanitarianly or whatever, will soon be forgotten. But I'm going to tell you something, whether you like it or not, you will be forgotten after about the third generation. Authorities tell us that's generally the case. You've heard me say it. Most of us don't remember who our great granddaddy was. You probably never even knew his name. You didn't know him. No one ever talked to you about him. And what they did, even a century ago, lies in the grave. And that's why Christ said the only thing that really is important in your life is making sure that your life is right with God. Give up all the senseless worry. And understand that Jesus Christ died that you might go to heaven. And that is the most important thing that you could consider this morning. One time, two brothers were playing in an old abandoned church building. They climbed high into the belfry, which was several feet above a concrete floor. As they climbed, a wood timber broke, and they began to fall. And the older brother caught on another timber, and his little brother caught him by the legs. And as they hung there suspended, over that concrete floor, the older brother tried and tried as best that he could to pull himself up, but he only grew weaker and weaker and was unable to do so because of the weight of his brother. And finally, the little boy looked up at his brother and said, "Could you save yourself if I were not holding you down?" And the older brother answered, "Yes." And to that, the little boy purposely turned loose and fell to his death to save his brother. You know, that's what Christ did for you. He did. He suffered death for you. And for me. And because of his death, we can give up our worry. And we can live faithful to him. And know that because of our faithfulness to him, according to his words in Revelation 2:10, that heaven someday will be our home. You know, that's the most important thing in the world. Hey, it's not a fancy car. It's not a fancy home. It's not fancy clothes. It's not popularity. It's not prominence. It's the home in heaven that I'm waiting for, folks. Because it's the people that make the home. And you know what? In heaven, we'll be surrounded by saints. And people that love God and share our faith. And until then, may God help us to give up our worry and anchor ourselves to Him by faith that cannot be shaken. This morning, I hope you have that faith. I hope that if you don't this morning, however, that you would come to believe in Christ. And it may not come in a few moments. It may not come after this sermon. I don't think a real strong faith develops after hearing just one sermon. I think it's something that takes a period of time. But I hope you come to understand it and to believe it with all of your heart. And then someday, hopefully, that faith will move you over the next mountain that will enable you to confess with your lips the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the next mountain, to repent of your sins, to simply say, I'm through with that old life of worry and anxiety and frustration. Hey, I'm giving that up because you know what? The peace of God is what I want, and I know that God's promised it. And it'll lead you to the next mountain to wash all your sin stains away and really make that covenant with Christ in baptism, where you're Lord in water and you're raised out of that water, cleansed and washed and renewed by the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And to know that when there are times in our life when we need renewal, that we can come before His throne and we can pour out our soul before Him and to receive the spiritual healing that we all desire. And maybe this morning, just maybe, possibly, in this audience there are those who would want to come to Christ, to make Him your Lord, to obey His gospel, and to give up your anxiety. It's just as simple as that, folks. You can go to a doctor and he can give you another prescription, but I'm going to tell you something. This came straight from the heart of the great physician, the greatest psychologist, the greatest doctor that mankind has ever known. While we stand and while we sing.
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus say.